Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 4 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 14. Let me bring in our fabulous panel who will help me break down everything with this interesting episode, a lip sync that we definitely need to talk about, and a challenge that I can't wait to get into. First, let me welcome in Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I honestly feel like this episode delivered. I had high expectations for this kind of almost improv-like challenge, and I thought it was a really good one. So far, I'm pretty high on season 14, so I can't wait to be proven wrong sometime in the near future, yes. As always happens, but I am enjoying the season so far.
Yeah, and I can't wait for my opinion to sour.
But that's probably not going to last very long. Yeah.
My feeling never sours on this man, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
Oh, you are muted.
Muted, honey. Yes. Starting things off right. Let's go.
I like the lip sync, though. That was great.
I was singing Catwalk, and I'm so sad.
Give us a verse.
I'm too defeated to do it now. But I'm great. I'm happy to be back. This episode was it set off lots of opinions. Like I said, I usually watch I usually go out on Friday nights to watch it at a gay bar here in Philly, and that lip sync left a lot of people arguing. Let's just say friendship were ruined on Friday nights.
Ooh. Not ruined friendship.
None of mine, but I saw a gaggle of other gays fighting.
Is that what a group of gay people are called? A gaggle? Is that
that's what I call them?
I think it is. A gaggle.
A gaggle.
Oh my God. A gaggle, a gaggle. Depends on your accent, I suppose. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, Amon, I'm super happy that you brought it up, because while the challenge this week was super teasers, which I thought was a really fun challenge, I think that the headline is the lip sync. So we have Alyssa Hunter, who is in the bottom, who ultimately gets eliminated, up against Carrie Colby to J-Lo's play. So, Beth, did you lose any friendships over the outcome of this lip sync?
Not to my knowledge, as I I watched by myself and then was able to argue with myself. I even with the failed money gun, Alyssa absolutely slayed that lip sync. Like, it, Carrie looked pretty. That's the headline.
That's right.
There we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Amon, where do you land on this?
I think Alyssa lost. I think she lost because the prop didn't work. So it was sort of like, what are you doing? You're kind of just like you went for something and then it didn't work, and then she sort of doubled down on it by bending over and trying to reach for the money and then throwing it up, which only reinforced the fact that the gun didn't work. I just felt like the whole thing was clunky. However, I do agree with what you're saying, Beth, and that she absolutely, besides all of that, she slayed it. And Carrie was sort of just like, you know, she was being Carrie. But I think RuPaul is very temperamental when it comes to these lip syncs. And the minute that you lose him, you lost.
Yeah,
it's like I think as soon as like when your weight comes off or your shoes come off or your wardrobe malfunctions, RuPaul is like, All right, I'm done.
The way you were calling out June Jambalaya from last week, right now.
Her headband falls down. Not naming anyone in particular, in general.
When your wig is up in the rafters, yeah, and it doesn't come back down.
I fully expected Alyssa to stay. I fully expected Alyssa because, I mean, it's J-Lo week. She's a huge J-Lo fan. I was like, she's got this down pat. It's over. But then when that whole gag just did not pan out during the lip sync, I was like, oh, damn it. Like, that's going to be the one mark against her. And I'm shocked. I'm first of all, I'm shocked that Kerry Colby and Alyssa Hunter were in the bottom, because those were two heavy hitters, in my opinion. I thought that the both of them were going to go super, super far. So the fact that either of them were in the bottom was mind blowing to me. But what do you think, Liana?
Yeah. I think there are a lot of things to unpack. So first of all, if I was going just based off everything, I probably would have given the edge to Alyssa, just purely based on the lip sync, fumble and all. I do agree with you, Amon, about the doubling down. Like, just leave it at that point after it doesn't work. Don't try to bend down to get the money, because it does create this like kind of awkward break in the lip sync. But everything else, I really felt like Alyssa was giving it to us. Not that Kerry did a bad job necessarily, but I felt like Alyssa just had a little bit more energy, and I really felt like she was feeling the song. Although Carrie's moment with the like covering her mouth during the cursing was fun. So ultimately, I think I would have given the edge to Alyssa.
Yeah.
That being said, I just don't think the judges were vibing with Alyssa at all, because I think last week you could easily have made the argument that Alyssa should have been in the top.
Agreed.
And she wasn't. She just consistently has not been getting, the love from the judges. So I almost kind of feel like this is a little bit like putting her out of her misery. Not that it's warranted, absolutely at all. No. She seems to be, from everything I've seen, a fabulous queen, and I would have loved to have seen her longer on the show. But that was sort of the tone and the sense that I got from the way that the show was treating Alyssa.
This is, I'm going to come out and say it. I'm just going to make the point. Drag Race hates Puerto Rico. Like, seriously, the producers, like, they put
not
them on as
yet,
a stunt.
Bitch. Not a state yet. Yeah,
that's right. It's like the way, I don't like, to me, this was very apparent, the difference here, right? You had Cornbread, who has her moment on stage where she's kind of like going through something, and it's very supported by RuPaul and the judges. Alyssa comes up with something that is incredibly valid that nobody else ever talks about on the stage, and it's brushed off. Mm. Well, I was nervous about this challenge because I don't speak the language as well. And people are like, yeah, but you just have to work through that. And I'm like, No. Yes, you don't get to tell Cornbread, this is the beginning of like the rest of your life here, and have that really supportive thing when she's working through something that is also very valid. And then turn to Alyssa, who is saying something that every Puerto Rican queen who has been on the show has said. It's hard to do Snatch Game, and this is not my main language. It is hard to do improv challenges. It's hard to do acting challenges. And I have a barrier that other queens don't have. And unlike Dragula, where Amon and I were talking about this, where the judges, like, we had judges who were openly talking about the challenge of being a queer Black person in that show, and how that's a barrier and how you can work with it in this sense of the competition. We never get that from the judges when it comes to like this language barrier. So I honestly think I really didn't like this. I think honestly, I agree with you 100%, Liana. For whatever reason, the judges and production were not a huge Alyssa fan. They didn't even give her like any like confessionals in the first couple of episodes. And so we only get confessionals here. I just was like, what is going on with this? She's definitely talented though. So please go out and support Alyssa, please.
Yeah. I do think the super teasers also, we can talk about that now. How do you decide who's in the bottom? Because I think to me, it was kind of obvious who stood out to me of people that should be in the top. But then for everybody else, especially those that maybe didn't get like a huge moment, how do you differentiate? And do we think that the right people are the ones who ended up in the bottom? I think that those are some questions that we can definitely talk through.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So Amon, I guess, let's just start with generally the challenge. What did you think of this improv / acting challenge?
Well, y'all know how I feel about improv, y'all. Improv is hard. It is hard. It is like, every time I try to do it, I suffer from choice paralysis. I never know where to go, where to take the scene. It's just, it's a struggle of mine as a performer. And so anytime that someone is able to just be off the cuff and just say whatever comes to their mind, and it's funny and it's witty and it's quick, I'll throw you all the money. It's so great. So that being said, I love watching these types of challenges because it really shows you what, you know, how quick and how intelligent some of these queens can be. And yes, they get to do a lot of planning and they build the skeleton of the scene. But, you know, when it comes down to performing it, it all kind of just comes off the cuff. And so I really enjoyed seeing the point of view from a lot of these queens. Obviously Deja was great and Jiria was great. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I almost called her Silky. Wow, that was so disrespectful. Cornbread, put some respect on her name. She went for something. It didn't quite land. I think I loved watching the challenge. I thought it was great. I love stuff like this. I love super teasers in general, no matter what it is. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I love when Drag Race gets super, super self-referential like this and doesn't take itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. I think my assessment of this is going to be similar to when they reenacted the best Untucked moments.
Yes, yes, yes.
I liked this. I think this was a lot of fun because it really did poke fun at a lot of the aspects we all poke fun at. We poke fun at the mirror confessional conversations with I loved that whole Deja thing where I didn't learn how to walk for the first 2 years, but stuff like that. I was born at a very young age.
Sometimes I would just wake up with poop in my pants.
I remember it clearly. Like that, I think is so funny. But so this was a really fun challenge. And I think that the criticism of those that were in the bottom was 100% valid. There wasn't anything that the judges said that wasn't correct. It's just hard to Liana's point earlier. How do you judge with something like this when everybody has kind of equal playing field to a certain extent? What do you do? And I do think Georgia's probably should have been in the bottom. Watch Untucked and it's just everybody and Georgia's being I can't believe I wasn't in the bottom. But then you have a couple people being yeah.
We are also surprised.
I do think Alyssa probably should have been in the bottom, to be honest with you. I think that the criticism that Cornbread got was accurate. And I don't think Carrie should have been in the bottom, even though I do agree with her criticism. I feel like she and Georges probably should have been interchanged, with Cornbread being safe out of that three. And I think it should have been Georges versus Alyssa. But I also know optically that looks so bad to have the two Latina queens
on J-Lo week.
It's just, there's a lot of different things going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think first of all, just to reset. So this was the super teasers, which I don't know if you guys caught the title of the episode, but it was She's a Super Tease, which I thought was hilarious.
She's a super tease.
Yeah. And so the queens get to pick their own teams, which, of course, I always love a good draft, usually creates some drama. So Willow, because she was the winner last week, and then Maddie, because she won the lip sync, both got to pick their teams. And then all the drama, Jasmine Kennedy, which we'll get into. I don't want to talk about that now because there's a lot to talk about. Yeah. And so that's sort of how they go about it. I think what worked for me for the super teasers is because sometimes in sketch comedy, you have an idea that is really funny. But then when you have a skit for 5 minutes looking at you, SNL, that idea is not so funny anymore because you draw it out. And so these super teasers were, literally a few minutes where it was just boom, 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 back to back to back, all these little really funny snippets. So Orion Story, who's actually growing on me, her moment with Orion Story, not just my, my drag persona, it's also the love of my life. And she starts making out with the mirror. That's hilarious in about 5 seconds. Anything longer than that, probably not very funny. Agreed. But I literally laughed out loud when she did that bit. And so I felt that that's what really worked about this particular format for an improv challenge, instead of something that's a little bit longer that maybe is not going to be as funny if it's drawn out. So instead we got these really funny moments.
I completely agree with that. And I think that that's also where the editing of this from the what the producers chose to put together really impacted what the Queens, where they were in the standings. Because I honestly think that if the producers wanted Maddie in the top, she would have won this challenge if they had edited it in a way where they put her talking about her dads. But that was only for us to see beforehand. They didn't put that in the final product. Instead, they went right to Diabetti saying, oh, I'm also straight. And it was just like one of those things where you went, well, you cut one of the best things that Maddie said earlier. Mm-hmm. And conversely, they only showed Cornbread at a 10. And I think that that's probably accurate to what she did acting wise. But maybe there were peaks and valleys that we didn't see as much in the edit. So I think that with challenges like this, it's also you have to look to what are the producers editing down and putting together versus what we saw in like the filming or the rehearsal of it.
I also think challenges like this where RuPaul is absent, because this was, you know, moderated by Carson, and oh, shout out to Carson, by the way, he's on Celebrity Big Brother 3.
Well, that's the joke, right? How could he have recorded this episode when he's in the Big Brother house? Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. What a genius.
They let him out.
can you imagine if they actually were doing that? That'd be crazy. But yeah. I feel like their opinion, Michelle's and Carson's, sort of like weigh a little bit more heavily during the judges panel because RuPaul's not there. And of course, you know, they get to sit there and all watch it together. But I feel like whoever's like the most difficult to deal with, whoever Michelle or Carson have to give the most notes to, those are the ones that are always going to stick out the most. Yeah. And so in that regard, I understand why Alyssa was in the bottom. But then also to Beth's point, I understand like when, you know, when English is not your first language, and it's not only just the language barrier, but I think it's also just like a difference in like humor and culture. Because there are some things like, you know, there's always like a huge contrast between American humor and British humor, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing for like, I mean, Puerto Ricans are Americans, but like their culture is so consolidated to Puerto Rico that I think that sometimes their culture and their humor can just be a little bit different. So something that Alyssa might find funny is not going to register the same way that it might hear, which, you know, was illustrated whenever they were talking about, you know, what types of gags and jokes to make. And they were all like giving her the side, they're like, girl, that's not as funny as you think it is. And I understood what Alyssa was saying whenever she would make suggestions. And I understood like what she was trying to get across. But in the same respect, it just didn't land. And so I think there's a reason, that we can repeatedly see Latin queens do horribly when they're in challenges like this. I think we have countless examples of it. This is this one. And then I remember, what season was, was that season 6 with, or was it season 5? I think it was season 5. I'm forgetting her name. It was a Latin queen. She was black. And she, like, nothing she said was, like, registering.
Oh, Lanesha Sparks?
I think it was Lanesha. Yeah.
Snatch game when she was,
I don't think it was, but she did not do a good job with the snatch game, but it was also another improv challenge before that that she also did not do good in. It was just like, they just kept giving her back the things. Just like, she's trying, I swear she's trying, but it just didn't register.
It's so true. I think that the culture thing is a huge aspect of this, right? Where we have seen other shows kind of embrace and let people have that, you know, explain their culture in this moment. I mean, Drag Race in itself is making queens fit in a box versus what drag is, which is to make your own box, essentially. So I think that one of the things that we have to remember as an audience, and that honestly the queens need to remember when they go on the show, is that when you elect to go on the show, yes, you're getting a platform, but you're getting a platform that is going to try to fit you into a box that you may not fit in. And that doesn't make you a bad drag queen. And it also, and for the audience at home, like that is not also what all drag is. And so I think that now that Drag Race has become more mainstream, it's important that if people are really interested in drag, that they're looking at what else is out there, because there's so many cultural references, both in terms of like other places, but also within the United States that isn't represented on a show like Drag Race.
I will say, from what I've seen online, it does seem like most people are giving Alyssa her due and her credit, which I think is really good, right? To not just sort of blatantly follow what the show is trying to tell us. I think the audience, you know, there's of course the fans that don't treat Queens
appropriately. Lanesha Sparks. Sorry,
I was okay. Good, fact checking. Good. but at least for Alyssa, I think we can all kind of recognize what we think is going on here. So even if the show maybe is not treating her appropriately, at least the fans can sort of recognize these biases, and that, you know, the judges panel isn't always there, and you know, isn't the be all end all of what it means to be a good drag queen.
I also like that the Drag Race audience in general over the past few seasons is just shits on the judges all the time, yeah. Including us here on this podcast, me especially. I always go for the judges, but I definitely think that that's fair. Like, this is about getting a platform at the end of the day. And so if the audience at home is supporting you, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
I want to go back and talk about Maddie for a second, because you brought up Maddie. I was racking my brain once I saw the final product and I saw that Maddie wasn't in the top, because we got multiple confessionals saying, oh, Maddie's turned things around. Oh, Maddie's such a great leader. Oh, Maddie's so funny. We get, you know, compliments from Carson being like, oh, I love that you said dad, because that's an extra layer of comedy. We even got it in Untucked, where the queens are like, oh my God, Maddie, you're so funny. Maddie, you're so good. But yet completely cut those lines out of the actual edited super teaser. And then, of course, you know, she didn't end up in the top. She ended up safe. I was like, what am I supposed to be learning from this? Like, what? This is, am I just supposed to know that she's great, but like not in the judges' eyes? I don't know. It was very confusing.
I think it's just because her personality is just like a little bit flat. Like yeah. And I think, Zaya Betty said this in the first episode. She was like, I'm kind of worried about my sis Maddie, because if she doesn't start showing her personality, then she's going to be not long for this world. And I think that's probably what it was. I think they wanted us to be aware of the fact that Maddie contributed a lot to this challenge, and that's why she's not going to go home. That's right. Why she is safe this week. She is safe to slay another day.
I also, just side note, really loved that moment in Untucked with Maddie and Alyssa, where Maddie goes up and is like, I feel really bad. Like, as the leader of the group, like, I should have ensured that you were going to be more successful and listen to you. And I really like that Alyssa was like, hey, I did my best and you did your best and that's all fine. I just think that that shows both characters very, very well, like how both are good people and like one, and there's humility there and there's not a lot of egotism, and in a competition like this where egotism can reign high, this was a great moment, and I really appreciated that. I think it really showed both of them in their best light.
Yeah, it was cute. So yeah, Maddie's team was Maddie, Deja, Diabetti, Angie, Alyssa, Orion, and I felt like, I mean, because I think the general consensus was that they were funnier, at least from the queen's perspective. I felt like Deja did a really great job. The Orion moment was really funny. The, you know, Maddie Diabetti moment. Angie, of course, I mean, ultimately ends up winning the challenge. The moment, what was it that she said?
You ugly bitch.
Yes, you ugly
bitch. Shut your mouth, you ugly bitch.
So funny. It's not even that funny of a line, but the way that she delivered it was just hilarious. Ugh, I was obsessed.
And then the whole scene with her and Deja just like
yeah, like, <crying. laughs> like breathing into each other. Yeah. I'm telling you, if Ange, so Ange, are we agreeing, right? Angeri and Willow are clearly at this point, like, seen as like the two front runners of this competition.
This was the placement the past 3 weeks was win, high, win, high, win, high, right? For the three of them. So the first Angeri, Willow being the second, right? So they've won the first three challenges, essentially, or the last three challenges combined.
Yep.
Just, it's so funny to me. It's I really think that Angeri, now that we know that she can act and she didn't know that she could, and that kind of, I mean, I don't think there's really much that's going to stop her in this competition. And then with Willow, there's a different kind of confidence. Like, Angeri just has confidence. Angie's just confident. And I love that about her. She knows what she's going to do, and she's not afraid to make a fool of herself. Willow is confident in the sense that she's not afraid to make a fool out of herself. But I wonder at what point does that get old in some capacity? I could see her in about 4 or 5 weeks from now where someone goes, I really like what you're, we like that you, we never know what we're going to get from you, but we would like to know something else about you. Like, what's something that's consistent about you? Like, I can't wait for Michelle to say that in like week six. And I'm going to be like, okay, like, you can't give her roses in the beginning of this and being like, we love that we never know what to expect. And then switch around and say, we want to learn to expect something from you. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what they do.
Yeah. Is it safe to say one of them is probably going to be saved by that chocolate bar at this point?
Yeah.
If they end up in the bottom. I think that for me, obviously they're coming out as the two front runners, but you know, they get bored. The judges get bored. And so exactly to that point, I think we could see not necessarily a complete fall, but like, okay, maybe they're not in the top necessarily. I think we could see another queen. Perhaps Bosco would be my pick. You know, I was a little down on Bosco after the very first week because I was like, oh, you're a little cocky. But Bosco, I think, has been consistently delivering.
Yeah.
And so I could see someone like Bosco, especially because I think that there's a lot to unpack there, which the judges might be intrigued by. And you can kind of peel back those layers. And Bosco sort of emerges now as someone who could end up winning a lot of challenges because they've been giving her a lot of confessionals, even though she is not the main player. That being said, she's absolutely hilarious. Like with the whole Jasmine Kennedy drama when Cornbread with Cornbread, I think the quote was like, what was it? I see you blinking and it's taking up a lot of room. Bosco's mimicking Cornbread. Yeah, exactly.
Stop breathing.
You're taking a lot of space right now.
It's so good.
Yeah, those moments are super funny, which makes me think that there, you know, that there's more that I think we're going to see from Bosco, but who knows?
Bosco has just that personality that's very like dry and sarcastic that kind of cuts to the point, but like it's backed up with talent, and that's a lethal combination in the long term of a competition reality show like this.
Yeah,
I agree. Okay, the last thing I want to say about the maxi challenge before we get into some of the other events from the episode, I just have to point this out because it took me kind of watching it twice to really pick up on it, but Lady Camden's whole character with her being like hella American was the whole point. She came in, she was like, America's sweetheart is here, and then she's wearing nothing but like American flags in the confessionals. She's doing a horrible like American accent, I mean in like the best way possible. That was super subtle. It took me a while to really catch on to it, but then once I noticed all those little elements, it was really funny. And so I just want to give her props for that, because that was something that I liked about the super teaser.
I think Lady Camden is another one to watch. I think we have a bunch of like sleeper queens here, like that are just gonna like during the mid season, they're just all gonna like come into their own, and we're gonna be like, who do we root for? I don't know what to do.
I mean, that's the thing when you have a season dominated by two powerhouses early on, is that just some of the queens have to take a little bit of a backseat because the narrative is gonna be surrounding the you know, those two other queens. So once that can taper off a little bit, or we have a better sense of the two queens out in front, then some of the other queens start to trickle into your point.
It's basically right now in terms of the competition, it's giving me season 11 Evie versus Brooklyn. We knew that Evie and Brooklyn were going to be the final two, right? However, I would say overall this cast has many stronger competitors than season 11 did, and I think that there's more people that, you know, could vie for the crown a little bit.
Yeah,
actually, speaking of season 11, Cornbread let's talk about Cornbread in general, because, you know, we had talked a lot about how she would be a super strong contender.
Yeah.
But yeah, she ends up in the bottom two this week, or bottom three, I guess. Doesn't end up in the bottom. How are you feeling about Cornbread right now in terms of her winner chances?
I'm going to let Amon go first, as this is his pick for his team.
I don't think she's winning. I think that I have effectively lost this draft. I'm already getting over it now. I think that Cornbread was exactly where I was afraid to pick her. It was because of the fact that I felt like she was going to be like in the Rob Goddess spot. I think she's going to go all the way to the end, and she's going to get chopped during the final four lip sync. That's what I think is going to happen. Only because I feel like, I mean, her road has been pretty fine thus far. This week was a bit of a bump, but like, her runways aren't that particularly stunning so far. I mean, I like this one, but the last one was kind of like, whatever. The one before that was kind of like, but like what saved her was her original song and performance. I just feel like Cornbread is just, I think that she is fantastic television and she's just a fantastic narrator. But her winner's equity, I think, is beginning to decrease each and every time that she comes out on that runway.
I think it makes me sad, but
I think that's kind of where we're at right now.
I think she could have been in the bottom last week too for the ball.
Yep.
I didn't mind the one look that you called like the church lady kind of like
going to look, church.
Whatever. Yeah. I worry about her because if you're not super strong in the ball, and then your personality is one of the loudest personalities, and then you're not good in an acting challenge, that makes me nervous about what are you going to be really excelling in, right? I think that sounds awful for me to say.
Tell me, what are you good at?
Yeah, quickly. But I mean, I really, and I don't mean that in a negative way, because I love Cornbread. Like, I want to throw her all my cash. Like, I think she's hysterical. She's the kind of queen that I would be dying in stitches the entire time I'm watching her. But I just, if she can hone in what the judges were saying, which is like, you know, don't go right to 100 with acting challenges or whatever, that'd be great. And I think that we can see her really be successful. I don't know if she's going to go all the way to the end. I feel like she could go in about three episodes and it will be kind of that robbed goddess that went in the like beginning of the middle of the season. Like, we always have that one person that we're like, no, I can't believe you left. And then about when we get to the end of the season, we're like, oh yeah, Cornbread. Yeah, she was great. Yeah. Like, I really worry that that's her fate, and I don't want it to be because I love her so much. She's like probably my favorite personality on this cast.
Yeah, I think there's one thing about being entertaining and then delivering in the specific challenges. And so I think that that's where there's perhaps a little bit of a disconnect, because obviously she comes out as a super strong personality, really fun, makes really great TV. But we'll see. I think I'm definitely not as high on her winner chances. I agree with Amon here. But, you know, she's definitely going to give us some fabulous TV. So I'm here for it while she is on our television screens, which, speaking of giving fabulous TV, we have to talk about the Cornbread and Jasmine Kennedy drama, which started a little bit last week in Untucked and is now full bloom, fully grown, wearing a pair of titties out on the town, because, oh my God, it was like most of the episode was their drama.
Yeah, but I felt like there was an arc to it, though, which is nice. It wasn't just we're at each other, and it didn't go anywhere. What I liked about this is I think it started off, and I agreed with Cornbread. I liked what Cornbread was doing when she was trying to explain to Jasmine, and I can also identify with Jasmine. I've been Jasmine many times in my life with talking. And talking over people, maybe not actively listening and that kind of thing. So I liked what Cornbread did to try to be like, and you're doing it again, and you're interrupting me again, what you're not doing right here. And I thought that that was fine. What I didn't think was fine was then there wasn't anything Jasmine could do correctly, right? And instead, and I think that Cornbread was then in the wrong when they were working together on a team. And I felt like Jasmine was really trying hard. I don't agree with Cornbread's, well, if you're taking notes and you're not listening to people, I'm somebody who like, I have to take notes and while I'm listening to people. And that's how I absorb information so much better oftentimes, like if I'm in a meeting. And then she was yelling at her for not taking notes. Like, and it's just like, Cornbread, you gotta, clearly she is under your skin. And that is like what is preventing you from having a productive conversation. But then we did see them like, they're clearly getting along and they're praising each other's acting and they're doing these different things. And then in Untucked, it's no tea, you know? And then we see their tweets this week and they're just like, I love her. It's all squash. We're good to go. Like, it's not a big deal. And I think that that's how it should be. But I think that ultimately both of them were kind of in the wrong at certain points. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. I thought that Cornbread was being a little harsh with Jasmine here. Mm-hmm. I felt like Jasmine. I mean, we don't see everything because we're not there and the editors have edit, but I don't think that Jasmine really means any harm in being a talkative person. It can get annoying sometimes, and I understand the critique. But even in like the critique that Cornbread was giving her, she kept like cutting her off. And Jasmine just wanted to respond at one point. And she's like, oh, see what you're doing? You're cutting me off again. She's like, well, there was a pause. I'm trying to have a conversation with you. And Cornbread's like, there you go again. That's just like, just let her talk. Like, I don't know. It just felt very just like, I don't know. The whole thing was just very, very weird. And I doubt that Cornbread was giving as many side eyes to Jasmine as the edit was.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Trying to portray it. Like whenever Jasmine chose to be a part of her team, like, I seriously doubt that Cornbread was that bothered. But still, with that being said, the conversation that they had at the table before the Maxi challenge, I was just like, all right, Cornbread, just, you know, calm down a little bit. Like, I'm sure you talk a lot as well. You are a talker too. So You're meeting your match.
Okay. And? There's a difference between talking and a conversation. Come on. I have conversation. I look, Cornbread is clearly not the only queen that Jasmine was rubbing the wrong way, because Carrie straight out is like, you talk too much. Shut Bosco in confessional, you know, again, a lot of drama for Safe or whatever. And then Angie also was like, oh, thank God someone said something in response to Cornbread. So this is a repeated behavior. But I think that Jasmine's super young, right? Isn't she like 19 years old or something super crazy?
She's young. Yeah.
She's really young. And so I think she hasn't worked in a lot of group settings, that kind of thing. So, you know, she's just a strong personality and she seemed super receptive to the feedback that she got. And that was the part that was really heartwarming, was when she was confronted with, hey, you do this thing that we all hate. That is the hardest feedback to hear. And she's like, okay, I'm going to work and this is my strategy and I'm going to try to fix it. And that was really like, it was really cute. It was really sweet. And I did associate with Cornbread a little bit, because Puyi and I have had some interactions where I know I'm in the right because he's done this type of behavior, but I can't keep my mouth shut and I keep like bringing it up. He's like, I know I screwed up. And I'm like, okay, but like, let me remind you one more time. So I know it's not the necessarily right thing to do, but like, I totally got what Cornbread was doing, because you're just like so frustrated that like anything that person does annoys you.
It's so true. I mean, I've been on both sides. I recently, from my brother, was told, Beth, you got to listen a little bit more and shut your mouth. Like, listen, like, and I completely agree. It's something that I always have to work on, right? And I have to continually work on that kind of thing. So I appreciated the attitude with which Jasmine, you know, worked on that. But what was counterproductive to that was how Cornbread came at her for it. And I think that, again, the first conversation is a nice little smack of reality, and that can be upsetting. And I don't agree that I agree that some of the time she was a little rude about it in that initial conversation, but I think it had to be said. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she said it, I think, was a good thing, rather than let it bottle up for everybody. But it just came across as like, she was getting tilted for no reason. And I actually think that maybe that's maybe why she didn't do super well in the challenge as well, where she just felt like she had to go at 100 because she had all this bottled up emotion. It was just like, let me get it out. Like, it could have been something like that too. But.
Okay. Let's jump to the runways. So this was the night of 1,000 JLos, which Owen JLo is, you know, on video in the workroom, pre-recorded, but okay, just selling her ashwagandha gummies. Okay, girl, make your coin.
Oh, God.
But, you know, the queen seemed to get a kick out of it. What looks from the runway stood out to y'all?
Let's start off with Carrie in wearing the actual dress.
So that's confirmed that was the actual dress?
It was the actual dress. Yeah, it was confirmed.
How much do you think that cost?
Probably about the same amount as one of the other queens' entire Drag Race budget, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's like, no wonder they didn't send her ass home. No wonder Carrie was like not really giving it to us in the lip sync. She didn't want to fucking rip that shit.
I don't like that it's original dress. I think that should have landed her in the bottom alone. You didn't do something that was your own, that was drag, that kind of thing. It's the same way. It was a flex, similar to when Kimora Hall came out and she was wearing an original Bob Mackie. And I was like, that's really great. But all that tells me is that you have money. That doesn't tell me that you have talent.
Mm.
Ooh. Sorry. That comes across as really bitchy.
I am gagged. I cannot believe she actually wore the actual dress. Because I saw that and I thought that people were just like shitting me. But like, what?
Yeah, it was the actual dress.
Okay, let's see. So
and she tweeted about it too today, maybe, or yesterday.
Okay, so here's J-Lo in the dress. There's Carrie. Let's see. Do we think it looks the same?
Pretty much.
It looks pretty similar.
Now, the criticism people are saying is that they don't think that because it doesn't fit the same way. But Carrie tweeted, please keep in mind, I'm 5'11 and she's 5'3, so things will fit differently.
Mm.
And I'm sure that if she bought the dress, which I don't know how she would buy that. That'd be incredible. I'm sure she'd like
how do you get your hands on that?
I have no idea. I have no
idea. J-Lo has always inspired me in regards to me coming into my transition, Colby said to Pop Sugar, which made walking in the special dress so emotional, she added. I won and I did it in fucking Versace. Like, who can say that? It's just a dream. The contestant borrowed the piece from her friend who she knew was in possession of both J-Lo's original Grammy's dress from 2000 and her sexier 2019 version at Milan Fashion Week.
I need better friends.
She brought both to the RuPaul set.
What?
She ultimately chose the more obnoxious, louder, more Versace signature revival. So this is the 2019 version, but she had both,
she has both
dresses.
Could you imagine the flex of being in that room and being like, which one do I go with?
The
original one that like was the dress that caused all of the tabloids to happen, or this one? It's just like, oh my God.
That's amazing. I don't even want to know how much those two together cost, like, especially because they should be in a museum somewhere. But
that's actually where I'm actually a little upset. Why does someone have this rather than the fact that it's in a museum? Both should be in a museum, but especially the original one.
I like who? Yeah, who is this friend? This infamous friend?
Her friend is Versace.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is gag worthy. I mean, I'm not going to sit back and say it's like not impressive that we got to see someone in that she absolutely looked gorgeous in in the lip sync. Even though I wasn't the biggest fan of her lip sync, that shot where she walks down the runway with it billowing behind. I mean, that will always be stuck in my mind. It will haunt me until the rest of my days. You know. But I'm doubling down. I don't think that's drag. It doesn't show that you've done something that is taking something and making it your own or putting your own drag spin on it. And especially in an episode where you have just been criticized for relying on being pretty. What have you done here? Yeah. You have relied on being pretty in a dress that is the original. Like, you didn't even put a take on it.
And this is something we've discussed previously, is what is it cute, or is she just pretty, right? that whole thing of like, is she talented or is she just pretty? Not to take anything away from her, but I think this is where it started to bite her in the butt a little bit, and the judges recognize that, like, look, sorry, you know, we want to know more about you other than like you're just gorgeous, which she is very gorgeous.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle.
Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Another look that stood out to me was Bosco's, mainly because I was like, who is that? I genuinely didn't even recognize Bosco when she first came around the corner. And she's still doing her signature eyebrows, but because they're the lighter color to match the hair, you can't, they're like not as dramatic and noticeable, but still there. This is the, I think, 2009 Golden Globes look. I didn't recognize her. I was like, okay, girl.
J-Lo retweeted every single one of the looks on her Twitter and then only commented on a couple of them. And this is the one that she wrote, oh my God, I love. So I think this was her favorite look. And so I have to defer to J-Lo herself. I agree. I think this was a really beautiful look. When she came out, I gasped. I was like, ooh, like that.
Yeah. I'm not that enamored by this one. Ooh. I don't know. Am I like in the wrong here? I feel like, and not to, you know, body shame anybody for being thin, but I felt like there just wasn't enough, like, va-va-voom for me. Like, I feel like it was sort of just, like, hanged off of her and didn't, I wanted, like, a little, I mean, when you think of J-Lo, you think of ass, you think of curve, and I feel like there just wasn't, like, a, I feel like there just need, like, a little bit more padding, just, like, smooth it out a little bit more, because it kind of just felt just a little too, it just didn't, she's not wearing it, it's wearing her.
I think that's sort of one of those things that for all the night of 1,000, blah, 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 whatever, is that do you try to do a honest to God recreation or do you try to make it like yours, but still J-Lo? Do you try, you know, and I don't think that there's necessarily a right answer to that. I think that both can work, but I totally see your point, Aman, about, you know, if I look at this, am I going to say J-Lo? Like, oh yeah, duh, J-Lo.
Yeah.
My only criticism of that dress is I wish she would have done some slight contouring of breasts on her chest.
Yeah, because those
it just looks like she stuck to like suction cups.
I'm like, listen, I'm sure that there are people with breasts like that in this world. I don't know any. And
J-Lo's not one of them.
J-Lo's definitely not one of them. I just feel like just a little bit of contouring, it's something subliminally like would have been fine and but it's like distracting. You kind of go, there's blank space in between what's going on. So that's the only thing I would have said. But I really liked it.
I mean, honestly, I'm looking through some of these looks. Overall, I think they all look really stunning.
This was a killer runway.
I'm bringing up these sort of minor things. Like, I thought everybody looked amazing. And I think one look we need to touch on, speaking of looking amazing, is our winner. Because Angie here has the Met Gala 2019 look with, you know, who needs a wig? Because she's got all of those stones on her head. I thought she looked
camp
so stunning.
Camp theme at the Met Gala, was that 2019?
Was that 2019?
I feel like
was that it, 20,
or was it 2018? I think it must have been 2019 because it was either 2018 or 2019.
It was one of those years, yeah.
Yeah, 2019, yeah.
I can't help but think of Coco Montrese when she came back to be the lip sync assassin. When she came out, that's just me being, you know, more of a Drag Race aficionado than a Met Gala person. So whether she put up the picture, I was like, oh yeah. But Coco Montrese though.
A lot of people were like, sort of like booing her at the bar that I was in.
Really? Because
they were like, no, this is Rihanna's look. This is Rihanna's look. This is not J-Lo. Because I guess nobody like remembered J-Lo wearing this. And I'm going to be honest. When she came around the corner, I thought it was Rihanna too. Because Rihanna wore something very, very similar to some function. I don't know what she was at. But it was like a dress entirely made of Swarovski crystals. with a cap as well that had like the same kind of aesthetic. So I'd never, was until they put the side by side, I didn't know.
That who more Nude Illusion though? I can't remember.
It was it definitely wasn't as silver, I think. I think it was definitely more like,
I'm going to go out and say that this isn't exactly the most original concept. So for Brianna or for JLo, we have seen this stuff since the 20s. So this isn't like, I just think in general, like I thought she did a good job, but for me,
she looks stunning.
It's just because it's a style that you don't look at it and go JLo immediately. I think that that's the only thing that's hard about it. But when you look at it side by side, I mean, really the difference here is a thicker strap around the ankle. There's not much of a train. And then the necklace on Andrea is a little thicker. And that's the kind of things that I'm saying, like when you make something your own or that you put like your own little things on it to differentiate it from the original, that I appreciate.
I think what I learned most of all from this runway, and it's no shade to JLo, it's just that JLo doesn't have as many iconic looks as I thought that she did.
It's pretty much Carrie Colby.
Oh man. There's some people that I'm surprised they haven't done yet. Britney Spears being one of them. So, but you know what? It's
because Derek Berry did it enough for all of us.
We've seen enough. We've seen enough.
She's not in her conservatorship
anymore. Thank you. Oh yeah, maybe it's like a rights thing.
Yeah, that's what I wondered. And I also wonder if we'll see her as like an opening judge on like season 15 or something like that.
I would love that.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
They would lose their
night
minds.
Of 100 Britneys would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many. Britney, who else? Beyonce. Rihanna.
Oh god, there's so good.
So many people that they haven't done yet.
Okay. I think you could do Mariah.
Yep.
You could do Mariah, yep.
So many queens. All right, we already talked about the lip sync, so I don't think we need to talk about that. Are we all on board with Angeria winning, or do you think you would have put your money on another queen?
I was fine with Angeria winning this.
I was fine with Angeria winning too. I think that there were some close seconds as well. Like, I feel like obviously Deja Sky was great. Mm-hmm. Who else was great in this?
Willow was also in the top.
Willow was good.
I think Willow benefited from the fact that she was the strongest of her group. But I don't think that, I think it was just because she was so ridiculous, but the other two were ridiculous, but it was like funnier to me. And I would have, if they had edited it differently, I would have liked to see Maddie instead of Willow in the top. But I think that from a production standpoint, they were like, we have to have some representation from the other group. And Willow did do a good job. So
yeah, that's fair. Well, we lose Alyssa here because it's just chocolate. Another queen not saved by the plastic, which we learned. I had someone reach out to me. Apparently, the candy bars are plastic. Okay, so.
Why? I don't know. Everybody was like everybody was screaming that at the bar. Like, it's like, it's just plastic. It's plastic. I'm like, okay, guys, we get it.
Like, they're on TV. We get it. It's props. Okay, it's props.
The way that I nervously would go to take a bite of it.
Like, still.
Well, Beth broke her teeth and she got eliminated from the competition.
We will not be covering her dental fees.
Yeah.
We lose Alyssa. And I just want to mention briefly the story that Alyssa told about her and her dad and how they essentially came out to each other at the same time, which I thought was really cute. And then her telling the story about her pageant dad and her gay father supporting her. You know, she may have gone out second, but she's got a fabulous support system, which is something that, you know, a lot of us want. So
absolutely.
Props to her. Okay. Anything else from this week? Yes, no, maybe. So,
I don't think so.
Nothing that popped out. See?
I don't think so either. I think we covered everything. Oh, draft update. Ooh. So, I have lost my first player, which this was brought up to me on Twitter. So, 2 weeks ago, it was two of Beth's players that lip synced against each other. So, Deja and Daya.
Last week was
Maddie and June, two of Amon's, and this week, two of mine, Carrie and Alyssa. Totally freaky. I don't know what's going to happen next. Are we going to go
well,
back?
Well, clearly it's going to be Beth next week. So I'll compensating. I'll be drinking while I watch.
Yeah, we shall see. I was shocked because it was a prediction that they had made. And I was like, nah, my team is so strong. I'll be fine. And then sure enough, like, oh no.
Who was the first player week? It was the audience versus who?
It was the audience versus.
Was it you?
Me?
I think. So, no, June, was it June and Orion were the first two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it was me.
Taking one for the team, I'm on.
I've lost.
So wait, that means the audience is up again next week, which means does Orion go home next week?
So Orion versus Jasmine is who we're going to see next week in the bottom.
I wouldn't be surprised because the judges just do not like her.
No, they do not.
Yeah, they did make a point of being like, Orion was like, hey, I've been in the bottom every week, so yay to being safe.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh, you'd probably want to be in the top, but no worries.
Man, you know, take it. Okay. Next week, we shall see who is in the bottom two, because we are getting the Save a Queen challenge, and three returning queens will be back, I assume, just for the one episode, but Tempest Du Jour, James Manfield, and Kimora Hall will all be back for television screen.
It was rooting for us.
I was rooting for you. Rooting for us.
I don't know exactly what this is going to be. I don't know if you guys got a sense if it's like a makeover branding challenge, maybe is what we're getting.
It doesn't look like a makeover challenge. I think it's a branding one. And I am confused as to the role the three returning queens will have in that, but okay.
Yeah, but okay. I'm not sure.
We will find out next week. But that does it for us this week. Thank you all for listening. Let's check out with our panel. Beth, where can people find you on social media, and what do you have going on?
Yes, you can find me at AugustaWind11 on all my social media channels. And, you know, just a lot of podcasting right now. We're all getting excited for Celebrity Big Brother 3.
Carson.
Woo! Yes!
We have a lot of
Todrick, but yay, Carson!
We have some, not only do we have Carson and Todrick on Celebrity Big Brother 3, but Mirai was also a guest judge. Yep.
Mm-hmm. She was. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she was in what, season 11 or season 12? And she, I believe she was on an episode when Carson was.
Was it with Carson?
I think so. Oh, so shit. The only thing that could have made that better is if the same episode was when Todrick was choreographer. Yeah.
I know, right? It was the trifecta of it all.
But yeah, I think that after Carson, who do we get on Celebrity Big Brother? Michelle's already been on UK, and then we've got Ross has already been this. I think it's time we get Shangela. Come on, we got to get an actual queen. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for an actual queen. I just want that. My heart needs that so badly.
It's so bad.
Each year, I keep thinking this year's the year, but you know, fine.
Who knows? Maybe that quote unquote 12th house guest who is being rumored to be the case. Maybe it's Shangela and she comes out in a box and goes, "Hallelujah, ladies," like this in the house.
I know, right?
Wouldn't that be great? So yeah, I'm going to be covering that with my weekly meltdown. So you can catch me there, and also continuing to do Hot Mess Moments with Dylan and doing the Nanny and Lost coverage.
All right. And Amon, where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can find me at Amon Adwin all over the place. I have returned to Twitch to play more of the old Harry Potter games. So if you would like some old Harry Potter video game nostalgia, come join me. Celebrity Big Brother is picking up. We're about to do the draft on Monday or tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah. Or whenever you're listening to this, it may have already happened. So don't miss it.
So either don't miss it or check it out.
Yeah.
That's about it. And you can always find me at the choir room as well. Just talking glee at all times.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Same, gearing up for Celebrity Big Brother. Let's go. If you want to support us, however, do not forget about the fabulous Drag Race crew as Celebrity Big Brother kicks off. Leave us a star rating and review on iTunes, and you can do that at robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. Also, it's almost the start of the month, so what does that mean? best time to join the Patreon program for RHAP. You can support everything that we do here on the Wrap Ups feed, as well as myriad of podcasts in the RHAP network. So if you're interested in that, go to patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/patron. Finally, speaking of other podcasts on RHAP, there is a brand new podcast that you do not want to miss. It is Pod Friends, hosted by Matt Scott. And Pod Friends features confessionals, which we all love a good confessional, with humans on RHAP. So Matt Scott co-hosts the Wrestling Wrap Up. If you don't know him, he interviews and deep dives into conversations with some of the RHAP community members that you know and love. They have already covered Taryn Armstrong. So if you want to get, you know, a little bit more info on Taryn that he doesn't show on the Taryn Show, check out Pod Friends. Mari Forth has also been a guest. So if you want to listen to Pod Friends, check out it's on the Reality TV Wrap Up feed. And of course on the YouTube channel, same as us. Okay. That does it for us. Thank you to Scott behind the scenes for all of your wonderful help. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.